compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. My number is 888-914-9149. Great to be with you. Thank you for listening. 888-914-9149. I am just scratching my head. I do not understand what's going on around the country with a work shortage. It's gotten so bad. Cyrus, check this out. The worker shortage has gotten so bad that in Massachusetts, the governor has activated 250 National Guard troops to do what? To drive school buses.
What?
Because they don't have an, yeah. To drive school vans and school buses. Let me read this to you. This is from CNN. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker activated up to 250 National Guard troops to help with school transportation at the start of the academic year. On Tuesday, 90 of the National Guard personnel will begin training to assist with school transportation services to address staffing shortages in certain school districts across the state. The governor said in a tweet, "The safe and reliable transportation to school each day is critical to our children's safety and education." It used to be back in the 50s and into the 60s that the governor would activate the National Guard to guard, for example, African-American students to let them go to school because of all the hatred against them, all the racism against them. I mean, I've seen that done before. Of course, I wasn't around in the 1950s. But in any case, that's been done that way. But to drive school buses, have you ever heard of such a thing? I haven't.
No, that is brand new. Something new every day.
School districts across the nation have seen higher than normal shortages of bus drivers. Some have offered signing bonuses for new drivers. Some have paid parents to drive buses. We talked about that story. And at least one school district has said that buses won't even be available because they don't have enough drivers. In a survey of school districts last month, 65% indicated that bus driver shortage is their number one problem or concern, according to the National Association for Pupil Transportation. Not the eyes, but the kids. As school districts across the country return to in-person learning and COVID continues to have an impact on education in general and school transportation scheduling and logistics in particular, the shortage of school bus drivers has become conspicuous, says NAPT, Executive Director Mike Martin. He says, let's be clear, this is not a new problem, nor is it easy to solve. How is it not a new problem? I've never even heard of such a thing before. Have you?
I have not, no. In fact, on my drive home, I pass a school bus, I guess a place where they store the school buses, and there's a big sign on the one that's facing the road. And it's saying hiring school bus drivers, and there it looks like it used to have like 11 or 12 underneath it, and they have over the top of that $15 an hour.
Oh gosh, and what is minimum wage? $8.50, $9?
Yeah, something like that. Yep. Yeah, so it's pretty good money. So, if you need a part-time job, and you can put up with screaming children.
Yeah, it depends on the age group, I suppose. But yeah, I know what you mean. I remember from time to time riding the school bus when I was a kid. It was kind of a fun adventure.
Me too. Yeah. I don't know if I'd call
it. But whoever would have guessed? Could you imagine being the altruistic young man or woman who wants to serve the state and serve the country and enlist in the National Guard and then finds out he's going to be driving a school bus? It would sort of take the sparkle off of things, wouldn't it?
Wind out of the sails, sure would.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for a part-time job, and you don't mind going to Massachusetts, you can get a school bus driving job.
I'm seeing part-time jobs everywhere. I went for a walk yesterday in a business district, and on just about every single window, help wanted.
Yeah. So. Listen to this. This is from MSN. Businesses around the world are in a similar dilemma right now. A survey of nearly 45,000 employers across 43 countries showed 69% of employers reporting difficulty filling roles, a 15-year high according to employment services provider Manpower Group. Businesses across all surveyed countries reported stronger hiring outlooks for the end of this year compared to the final 3 months of 2020. It doesn't look that way to me. It looks like it's getting worse. But, I mean, this is apparently, according to MSN, it's not even an American problem. This is something that is now hitting everywhere. And I guess it leads to the question, is this COVID related only, or is there some other reason? I know that the stimulus money and, of course, unemployment here in the United States, for a lot of people, that can carry them quite a ways. But I wouldn't want to stay at home. Even if I could make a few hundred extra dollars by staying at home, I would rather be out there doing something.
Yeah,
so drive a bus, man. Flip a pizza. I don't even know if they even flip them anymore. So now, one industry that's doing extremely well that may not have any problems hiring, I don't know, we haven't been told, but that's the gun industry. And the startling headline, 3.2 million new gun owners in the first half of 2021. Now, this isn't like 3.2 million new guns sold to existing gun owners. These are the people who, for the very first time, have gone through the FBI background check and are first-time gun owners. This is according to the Daily Wire. According to a new industry survey, millions of Americans have become first-time gun owners during the first half of 2021. Continuing an upward trend. This trend has just been continuing upward endlessly, it seems, for the last 20 years. In the study put out by the National Shooting Sports Foundation, or NSSF, an estimated 3.2 million Americans reported purchasing their first firearm. Their first firearm. The NSSF, the Firearm Industry Trade Association, reported that nearly half of the new gun owners are under the age of 40. The survey was sent out to gun retailers who are members of NSSF. NSSSF. I can't even. NSSF. That one I can say pretty quickly.
That's fun. Keep it
NSSF.
Doing.
Try it. NSSF. Try it.
NSSF. Nope.
See
I'm done.
Okay. I had to practice in being on air and all. So let's see. The survey was sent out to gun retailers, members of the NSSF. High percentages of retailers also said that low inventory for both guns and ammunition hurt their total sales. The survey shows that there is a continuing demand for firearms from the American public, according to the NSSF president. He says, we witness each month background check figures associated with gun sales that are second only to those we saw last year's record-breaking totals. The study noted that 9.8 million background checks conducted for gun sales. Respondents said that it was the first time purchasing a gun for about one-third of their customers. So the NSSF guy says the survey results show not only that there is a strong and healthy appetite from first-time gun buyers, but that there's also room to grow. We are encouraged by the sustained interest in lawful and responsible gun ownership, as well as by the manufacturing base, which has been challenged to meet this remarkable demand. So the gun sales are going up and up. So if you are a school district, you're probably having a lot of trouble finding somebody to drive your buses, but if you are a gun manufacturer, apparently, unless they're using robots, they don't seem to be having too much in the way of problems. What can I tell you? 888.
Hopefully these new gun owners are taking the gun classes and learning about gun safety. They're not just buying weapons and ammunition and throwing them in their closet.
Hopefully.
They are weapons, people. Train yourselves.
Yeah. Use them responsibly. That's for sure. Well, one thing that's not being used responsibly is hand sanitizer. Now, you have kids in school, so this is probably a story that's going to, if not affect you, I pray it doesn't affect you and your family, but it is affecting other families. And this is kids basically getting drunk on the alcohol in hand sanitizer. So this is how it's being reported by Pittsburgh CBS Local. Hand sanitizer exposures on the rise. Mother warns other parents after kindergartner collapses from alcohol poisoning. Pittsburgh Poison Center's Dr. Michael Lynch says in Pennsylvania, in the last 18 months, more or less since the start of the pandemic, we've seen a 56% increase in hand sanitizer exposure cases compared to 18 months prior to that. Now, what they mean by that, and as you read the article, it becomes clear, hand sanitizer exposure cases in this context refers to people ingesting it and getting, what would you call it, drunk? I guess drunk, high? So, for example,
That's
a Moon
crazy.
Township, I know, I don't think I would ever, even as a kid, have been tempted to taste it.
No.
Much less drink it. But here's an example. A Moon Township mother has a warning for every parent out there about hand sanitizer. You know, we're talking about the Purell, the little they're not bottles technically, you know, plastic. Yeah, they're plastic bottles, but those little things that the kids go to school with. So this mom is saying she wants to warn other parents. She says that what happened to her young daughter was a nightmare. She hopes other parents don't have to deal with it, but many are. It was her second day of kindergarten. The little girl set up her desk with her pencils and her supplies, including a fresh bottle of hand sanitizer, which was on the list of school supplies for the kindergarten class. So when the school sent out the back-to-school supply list, that was on it. So she had her little bottle of Purell. By lunchtime, the 5-year-old girl had collapsed. The principal called and said to get to the school immediately, the girl's mom said. She was walking a little wobbly down the hall. By the time they got to the classroom for lunch, or to the lunchroom rather, she fell and couldn't sit up straight. The mom to 3 young children, who does not want to be identified, she did share the story about this youngest daughter of hers. She said the little girl was rushed to the children's hospital. She said she was completely out of it. I tried to wake her up. I tried to help her open her eyes. She fluttered her eyes briefly. She looked at me, but it was almost as if she had looked straight through me. And she started to cry, and she laid back down. The mother was, of course, very scared. Hours later, in the hospital, the little girl came too, but the mom still had no answers about what happened. The class, she says, each student has their own hand sanitizer pump bottle at their desk with their name on it for personal care. My daughter had consumed half of the bottle. She consumed 6 ounces of 70% alcohol. Her blood alcohol level, you know what the legal limit is in most states, Cyrus, right? It's 0.08, isn't it?
I think that's what it is. 0.08, that's right, 0.08.
Right, 0.08. This little girl's blood alcohol level from the hand sanitizer was 0.23.
Oh, whoa. That's like, so
it's
alcohol,
like three times.
Alcohol poisoning, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what the level is. Oh, that poor kid.
And yeah.
Why would she, you know, she was innocent. Was she dared, or why it seems like that stuff would be, if the alcohol's so potent, it would burn.
You would think.
I've never tried it, but.
Well, they break it down, you know, true confessions. Thank you. I have never tried hand sanitizer either.
I just wanted to be clear.
So listen to this. A hand sanitizer typically has about 70% ethanol, which means that these little plastic bottles are about 140 proof in terms of their alcohol content. Even a small amount could be enough to get intoxicated. This is the superintendent. He says the health and wellness of our students is a priority. The district provides hand sanitizer stations that are available in each of our schools. In addition, students are permitted to have hand sanitizer in their desks or backpack. I bet that's going to change real soon. However, students are not required to keep it in their desk or backpack, particularly if the parent or guardian does not want them to have it. Dr. Michael Lynch, head of the Pittsburgh Poison Center, says there has been an increase of kids ingesting hand sanitizer. And he says, in Pennsylvania, in the last 18 months, more or less since the start of the pandemic, we've seen a 56% increase in hand sanitizer exposure cases, which in context means the kids are swallowing this stuff and getting high, getting sick. So not that I want to put any ideas in anyone's mind out there, but that's another real hazard. You know, the things that you took for granted 2 years ago, Cyrus, hand sanitizer, back when you could go into a store and buy it. You remember that? You could go into a store and buy hand sanitizer all the live long day. And then when COVID started up, you'd go into the grocery store. Boy, I remember this. And just whole long aisles.
Empty. Empty aisles.
No hand sanitizer, no Lysol, no like Clorox or Clorox, those, you know, wipes and things. All those things disappeared. And now, you know, it's funny. It's funny, not in a ha-ha way, but just funny, odd, that now you go into some of these stores and they've got huge bins of hand sanitizer bottles because they can't get rid of them. They can't sell them anymore. People are so overloaded with this stuff that now, because they bought so much of it, it's like, here's, have some free hand sanitizer. So maybe it'd be good to stock up for the next time around. You never know.
Crazy times.
888. I know. 888-914-9149. Let's do some phone calls. Let's go to Brett in Milwaukee. Good morning, Brett. Welcome. Do we have Brett? Let's see if we have Brett. Okay. Oh, well. Oh, well. Who do you recommend then? Okay. Okay. Hello, Brett.
Hi.
Yes, welcome.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the bus driver shortage. I remember earlier you were talking about Amazon having to drop their requirements for no longer doing drug testing.
Yes.
To be a bus driver, you have to be background checked. Yep. For a bus driver, you have to be background checked. You have to have fingerprints, and you have to pass a drug test.
Right.
If Amazon
a year ago, we had no problem getting bus drivers, though. I mean, a year ago, did you ever hear about a bus driver shortage so bad that the governor had to activate the National Guard to drive buses? I never heard about that.
Not that bad, but I have heard of bus driver shortages before.
Okay, so, fair enough.
Anyway. Okay.
So you're saying that because there's maybe a higher barrier to qualify because of the testing and all of that, background checks, that there's sort of a built-in likelihood that you won't get as many people as you need because of that?
Right. For example, I'm in IT, and about 5 years ago I was doing, I was hiring for people, and I was eliminating, whenever I'd ask for a drug test, half the people would not even take the drug test because they knew they'd fail.
Oh, they knew they'd fail.
That's how high some of the usage is here. And then we're going into a regular just shortage in general, and then we're also, you know, because the requirements are so high, which they should be, don't get me wrong, I'd say don't,
yeah,
I wouldn't do what Amazon does and lower it by any means, especially when carrying children around. But it is an extra barrier there that is just adding to this. So
that is a good point. So obviously this is precious cargo, so we want our children as safe and protected as possible. So I'm with you on that. I'm wondering, though, do you think that in your experience hiring people and seeing people say, oh, I don't want to take the drug test, do you think it's pot? Do you think it's cocaine? Do you think it's a mix of whatever? What do they test for specifically? Do they test like for a wide range of drugs, or are they just looking for marijuana, or do you know?
Yes. So mine was testing for everything. And it wasn't the really deep test that they do for like a CDL test or for like a bus driver test where it goes in and they test it very, very thoroughly. Mine was just to check to see if you had anything in your system at all. Marijuana stays in the system for like 28 days. And my deal, why so many people didn't take it with me, I knew they couldn't pass it based on it, is I would tell them in their first interview, I already arranged for a drug test for you. If you pass it, I pay for it. If you don't pass it, you're going to have to pay for it. And I had people just go ahead and they say, I'm not going to take that test. And I'd always kind of joke and I'd be like, you don't have to study for it. It's just a glass of water you have to take beforehand, you know? And I was just flabbergasted that, I mean, this is a white collar job that I was looking for. And I had half the people just refusing to take it flat out.
My impression, Brett, is that the usage of marijuana is high and getting higher. I know that sounds like a joke. No, but it's rising. I think more and more people are using it, which may contribute to the factor that you dealt with. Hey, thank you. I appreciate your phone call, Brett.
Sure.
Look forward to the next time. Quick time out. We'll be back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. We'll go now to Karen in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. I thought I'd offer a little insight into the bus driver question. I actually drove a school bus, it was probably 10 years ago, and that the need for bus drivers is just always chronic. And the we're hiring signs you see all over the place, and in part because it's very much a transitional job. The majority of the bus drivers that I worked with were over 50 years old. And we had some that were younger because the garage that I actually drove out of also ran shuttles for a large medical clinic in the Midwest. And so we had a few younger people because they could get full-time work. But a bus driver job is very much a part-time job. You'll have a shift in the morning.
That makes sense.
You're there. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't trying to derail your train of thought. I was just commenting. That makes sense. And I'm assuming it's largely retirees, right? People who have free time.
Right.
And they can work those odd hours, right?
Right. Or you're between things. I was moving from one kind of job to another, and I was starting my own photo business. So getting up early, driving for 3 or 4 hours in the morning, and then you have the rest of the day free. Worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a morning shift, and then you may have an afternoon shift. You might even get a noontime, do the kindergarten run. So it's a lot of part-time work. They tend to be just pay a little bit higher than the minimum wage, but it's an unskilled or a low-skilled job. You do spend several weeks training because you have to pass the commercial driver's license, and that can be the other hitch that people with questionable backgrounds, because you do background checks and all that as well, they may not be able to pass the commercial driver's license test. So that can be another wrinkle in the difficulty in getting bus drivers.
You have a question, since you are a pro in this area. I've always assumed when I'm out motoring around in the neighborhood and the bus drivers are there dropping off the kids or picking them up, I've always assumed that if somebody were to, you know, like not respect the, you know, when the stop sign comes out from the side of the bus and the lights are flashing and people have to stop, that if somebody didn't respect that or did something that would be violating the personal space of the bus and the kids, that the bus driver would write down the license plate number and call the cops and that person would get in trouble. Are bus drivers thinking that way when they're out and about typically, do you know?
They will try. The difficulty is you basically have your hands full. So being able to get that license plate number down, the description of the car, and then you must also have a reasonable description of the person driving. So I could say it was a blue Toyota that blew through my stop arm and the license tag is such and so. But if I can't say it was a man, it was a woman, approximately how old, race description, hair color, then the police can't do anything about it because they could show up at the house of the registration and they say, it wasn't my car. Yeah, it's difficult and it's frustrating. And it does happen way too frequently.
I'm sorry to hear about that. We want to keep our kids safe. Well, thank you. I appreciate your input on that, Karen. Thank you. Nice chatting with you, Karen. Thank you. We'll go now to George in Chicago. Hello, George. Welcome. Oh, boy. Sorry. George, you are up next. How about Marty in Chicago? Do we have Marty? Let's go to Justin in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Justin.
This is a question that I know that you get from other listeners. I've got a friend who I've known for a long time, and I really love him. He's a good guy. Raised Catholic, not catechized well, and I sometimes try to evangelize him. But, you know, I'm looking for something that he can read. If he reads it, I mean, I don't know if he will, that will just help him to make a case for who God is. I mean, he'll talk about other traditions and how there are parallels between one tradition and another, and that's true, but something that'll help him. And another question is, are there some situations where faith just doesn't take? Do you know what I mean? Some people get it, some people don't.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, let's start there. Jesus talked about that. Remember the parable of the sower of the seed? And he said that the sower of the seed is scattering the seed on various types of ground. So I don't have that passage in front of me, so I may be getting them out of order. But some of the ground was shallow. The soil was shallow, so the roots couldn't sink down very far. Some soil was heavily trampled. In some cases, birds came down and took the soil. In some cases, the soil was rocky. And then in some cases, the soil was rich and deep. Now, to answer your question, I think we have to look at the point that Jesus is making here. The seed, the one who is scattering the seed doesn't know what kind of soil it's going on. He might have an idea. He might say, oh, that looks like pretty good soil. I'll throw some seed over there. But he doesn't know whether it will be scorched by the sun or trampled or birds will come or if it's shallow. But he just puts it out there anyway. And so this, I think, is the best answer to your question. That is, why is it that some people, they never come to faith in Jesus, or they never maintain their faith in Jesus, or they fall away, or what are the reasons? Well, those analogous examples of shallow soil, rocky soil, scorching sun, birds, trampling, etc., I think those are ways of saying why people don't necessarily stick with it. Because in life, there are things that will cause that seed not to flourish. But in the good soil, it does flourish, as you know. So it's a mysterious thing. And God does give his grace to everybody. He gives sufficient grace to everyone to be saved. But not, you know, many are not saved, as Jesus said. Therefore, it's that mystery about, well, what is it? It's a combination of human nature and other factors that result in the person winding up not being saved. So as to the second part, the first part of your question had to do with something to read. I'm a big proponent in giving people, like the person you're describing, a copy of the four Gospels. The very best thing that could be written about Jesus has already been written, and that is the four Gospels. Now, I would add on the book of Acts as well. It's kind of like a fifth Gospel because it picks up after the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension. But even if it's just the four Gospels, this friend of yours who has not been well catechized, he's going to meet Jesus in the pages of Scripture, and Jesus will speak to him, and he'll learn who Jesus is if he starts reading in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and reads his way forward. And maybe there will be, and probably very likely, there will be things there that he won't understand, or it will be difficult for him to make sense of, and that's where you can help guide him. You can explain, what does this mean? Well, it means this, you see. So if that's something you think you'd like to give him, I wouldn't recommend it. Now, beyond that, there are many books about the Catholic faith. Are you looking for a book that will talk primarily about Jesus or about the church or a combination, or what specifically do you have in mind?
I guess a combination. I know that you've got
books
you've written. I know there are the other Jimmy Akin and Trent Horn and Tim Staples and all those guys too. So.
Well, there you have it. Just look up any of our names and you'll find all the books that we've written. If you're asking me about my own books, those are the books that I know, of course. I would recommend starting with a book called Why Be Catholic. The full title is Why Be Catholic? 10 Answers to a Very Important Question. And as I like to say in that book, I take a 50,000-foot view of Jesus and the church, and I look at it from the standpoint of someone who might be skeptical about the Catholic Church, and to try to show the bigger picture so that people can realize, oh, that's right, Jesus didn't start mere Christianity. Jesus didn't establish Christianity as such, as if it were this loose confederation of like-minded believers who kind of sort of believe more or less the same thing, but not really. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus established a church, a specific church, the Catholic Church, capital C Catholic. And all those things that he wants for all of us are present in that church. But, you know, we in the Catholic Church have a very bad track record, corporately at least, of obscuring the beauty of the faith because of our own sinfulness. And so I start the book Why Be Catholic, I started the very first chapter with the priest scandals. And I figure there's only way, you know, if you start there, you can only go up. But I want to deal with the thing that's on a lot of people's minds right now to explain that in spite of those scandals, this is still the church that Christ established. And you really, if you're going to understand, and I mean you in a general sense, if you're going to understand Jesus and his mission, you have to understand the church. And if you're going to understand the church, you have to understand Jesus. You can't really have one without the other. So for my part, that would be a book I'd suggest, Why Be Catholic? 10 Answers to a Very Important Question. I appreciate the phone call. And it's good that you're trying to help out this gentleman here. Let's go now to, Marty in Chicago. Hello, Marty.
Hello, Patrick. I have to kind of circle back on something. I guess I should say go around the block because I'm another CDL school bus driver currently.
Okay.
Kudos to Cyrus on the magic bus. That was awesome. Interesting thing when you were mentioning about the stop signs, I do know that currently here in Illinois, they did try to propose some legislation which might have cameras on our buses in unique new areas. So, for instance, right now we already have a windshield camera which faces towards me and faces out. And there are certain things we can and cannot do with them because, again, we are a private contractor subcontracted to the school district. However, okay. Interestingly, they are proposing or considering putting these cameras on the actual stop arm, which then holds the high accountability to the school bus driver to do things accurately and properly, but then also gives us that backup while we're watching the street and everything else and students loading and unloading. We then can have something that gives us a much better shot. And of course, I'm going to have to finish this up quickly because on the radio you can hear I have to start my next route. But the interesting thing to me is that here we are now as a private contractor working for the state as maybe an extended arm of the state. So I do have concerns about them putting this legislation through properly. But I'll kind of leave it at that. Again, this is that guy who talked about the plant-based diet. We'll have a purpose-driven cup of coffee next time you're in the Chicagoland area. I have Cyrus
take
down my number and love to talk to you soon. Love you, Patrick. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Great to talk to you. I appreciate that. You know, that makes a lot of sense to me, to Cyrus, to put cameras that can catch errant drivers, for example, who are endangering the kids if they're, you know, breaking the law. Like, you know, when the, what did that one bus driver lady call it? The sidearm or the, not the sidearm, the, where the sign of a, the stop sign comes out from the side of the bus.
Yeah, we've all seen that. And you have to stop or you're going to get in trouble. I'm glad they have cameras. I put a camera in my car that faces out so it records everything that happens in front of me.
Have you ever watched a Russian dash cam video?
That is actually why I bought the thing in the
Unbelievable.
First place. Yeah, people laying down in front of cars and or running into the front of cars so that they can win insurance claims. So the Russians had to protect themselves by putting these dash cams in all of their vehicles. I was like, you know, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. You know, I haven't done it, but let me know how it goes for you, and maybe I'll follow suit.
Yeah,
it's
great.
I find those
if I get in an accident, there's video evidence of whose fault it was, and if it's my fault, I can just delete the evidence.
That's you just outed yourself, Cyrus. That will haunt you in the courtroom when you're in court. They'll play this part of the show.
Yeah, where's the video evidence, Cyrus? It wasn't recording. Yeah. It wasn't recording. I promise.
You sound like George Costanza right now. That's funny.
I was shaking my hands like him too. That's funny.
But you know, kind of on a related note, those Russian dash cam videos. Another thing that they're very useful for because they show lots and lots of accidents. And they never show anything gory. At least I've never seen anything gory. So you never see like injured people or dead people. You never see anything like that. All you see are these unbelievable, just astonishing car accidents. And what I have found valuable about those is it's a great reminder of just how fast these vehicles are moving. Mm-hmm. And when you've got a vehicle, it's a couple of tons of steel. And it's moving at 60, 70 miles per hour, even less can still be lethal. And just the force of impact and how quickly things can happen, how quickly things come out of control. I find that very instructive, and it's a good reminder to drive defensively, honestly, when I see those things.
Absolutely. And the worst one I ever saw was a guy who changed three lanes in one movement, and there was a semi in the middle lane. And as soon as he got over to that third lane, there was a stopped car. And
hit that car.
He hit it full 60, 80 miles an hour. So, it's terrible. It's just please drive safe, because you're going to get wherever you're going when you get there. So there's don't
rush. Or you may not get there if you drive like the Russian dash cam people do.
That's right, man.
Yeah, you can get there or not get there. It's up to you. But, you know, there is a God door here. I know we have to take a break, Cyrus, but just in a moment's time, the God door about those Russian dash cam videos, to me, by way of an analogy, is you see on full display how not to drive. Because, and even at times, not that they're necessarily driving wrong or badly, but because somebody else is doing something that could in a moment's notice affect you. You're just driving the speed limit, you're in your lane, you're wearing your seatbelt, you're doing your thing, but somebody else's insanity can affect you, even perhaps lethally. So for me, the God door is this is just analogous to life. It shows you how not to live, how not to live your life in ways that will endanger you morally speaking. And then also to consider the ways in which so many other people may be living their lives that way. So how do you protect yourself from those things that could affect you and your family negatively? So even watching Russian dash cam videos, Cyrus, there's a place for God. It's a moral tale, if you ask me. A cautionary tale, how not to drive. And if you do get some dash cam footage on your car, Cyrus, I hope you'll share it with us here on the Patrick Madrid Show. I'll be right back right after this. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
Cyrus, I've heard it said that you like The Lord of the Rings. Is that true?
I love The Lord of the Rings. I think it's fantastic.
I've heard it from you.
Yep. Yeah, I mean it. I love it.
Well, I had to check this to make sure it wasn't you.
But I know this story.
Yeah. When I first saw it, I thought, Cyrus, is that you? And then I realized it's not. Lord of the Rings actors, including Elijah Wood, have expressed their support for the project of an Italian man who lives as a hobbit and is building his personal shire from J.R.R. Tolkien's fictional Middle Earth in Italy. That's how I knew. When I got to that point of the article, I realized it wasn't you, because he's Italian and you're not Italian. In a series of video messages, oh, come on. The Downton Abbey music again?
I can't pass up an opportunity.
What does Downton Abbey?
This wonderful Lord of the Rings music, Lord of the Rings.
What does Downton Abbey have to do with Lord of the Rings?
Nothing. Nothing.
I expect Barrow to come in to serve at the table.
I don't even know what that means. You mean Barrymore?
Thomas Barrow. He's a footman. He's a butler. Okay.
Anyway,
this could easily have been in.
Stop.
Downton Abbey, because it's the same
Stop.
Music. Stop.
It is not the same. Lord of the Rings is way older than whatever the show is that you watch. Anyway, okay.
All right,
you're getting me all mad.
So, all right. Well, this will make you happy. I think you'll like this guy. In a series of video messages posted on Monday on Instagram, the actors who played the hobbits in Peter Jackson's movie expressed their appreciation for the project by Nicholas Gentile, a 37-year-old Italian pastry chef who dresses and lives as a hobbit, and his goal is to transform five acres, of land in the countryside near where he lives. He wants to turn it into a hobbit village.
Awesome.
When my kids were growing up, I have six sons, and I tell you what, their bedrooms were totally hobbit villages. Not because of the Lord of the Ring toys. I don't know if they had any, but they just lived like hobbits. Kind of looked like hobbits at times as well.
You mean they read books, they smoked a pipe and sat by the fire and enjoyed life to its fullest?
Is that what you half mean? And half of that and half not that. All right. So I'm doing this for you, Cyrus. If this weren't for you, I wouldn't be doing this story at all.
All right.
So, ciao, sono Frodo, said Wood in Italian.
You want to hear it from him?
Hello, I'm Frodo.
I got this.
Sure, let's hear it.
I'm Frodo. Help Nicholas build the Shire. So Nicholas, hi, Elijah here. I hope this finds you happy, healthy, and well. Hopefully I didn't mess that up too much. But I went to your Instagram page, and it is incredible what you're doing. I love all of the costumes and the individual, you know, set photos that you've done in front of fires and smoking pipe, and it's so beautiful. But also, the design, the redesign, a perfect replica of Bag End. How did you do that? Looking at the 3D mock-ups, it is absolutely perfect from what I remember Bag End to be. So well done. I can't wait to watch your progress. I will follow you on Instagram. That is so, so amazing. And if I'm ever in your neck of the woods, in your Shire, I would love to visit. Lots of love. Be well, Nicholas.
That's so cool.
What do you say? Thoughts and love or lots of love?
Lots of love.
I just had an idea. Write this down, because this could be big in Hollywood. You ready? Write this down.
Okay.
I have an idea. I would like to have Julian Fellowes reboot Downton Abbey, but the servants would be hobbits, dressed as hobbits downstairs in the kitchen, and, you know, with the big sideburns and the hairy feet and all that. And then what are the upper level people in the Lord of the Rings?
The wizards?
Ones who are
the Silmarillion?
No, I don't know what the names are, but they're like angels or something.
Yeah, the Silmarillion.
They're not hot. Okay, Silmarillion. It sounds like a condition. It sounds like a skin condition.
How dare you?
So what if they were the aristocracy, and we can combine the best of both worlds? So you've got Downton Abbey with that music that you just played, and yet they're doing it in Hobbit fashion. Are you in?
You know who else said something kind of similar to that when Lord of the Rings came out? Noam Chomsky. He was poo-pooing Lord of the Rings, and he was saying that the orcs had no choice but to rise up against their oppressors, everyone that was forcing them to live in an area that was uninhabitable, and you couldn't work there, and there's no shops. And so, of course, the orcs are angry. And I was like, come on, man, this is a fantasy story that gives me a little bit of escape.
You know how Noam Chomsky pronounces his name?
I have no idea.
It's escape, by the way. But you know how Noam Chomsky pronounces his name when he's eating?
How?
Nom, 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 nom Chomsky. You don't get it, do you?
That's good.
You know the nom, 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 nom.
Nom, nom, nom.
All right, so let's get to something a little bit more school related.
Well, yeah. Just quick. So is it okay that this guy pretends to be a hobbit? I mean, is this...
I don't care. It doesn't... Well, I'll put it this way. Because I'm always looking for a God door. So I'm looking at it this way. I can appreciate his appreciation for beauty, the beauty of the story, the beauty of the ideas and all that. And I grant that Tolkien was a master at what he did. And this is why this is so popular. I understand it. My only thought would be, if you know, you're a grown man, and if this is a hobby like golf or stamp collecting or whatever, okay, it's good to have hobbies. But I worry that maybe, I don't know, worry is probably too big of a word. I don't mean worry, but I wonder if maybe this is a bit juvenile for a grown man to sort of go into this fantasy world. And my question is, for what? To indulge his, his happiness. Okay. We all have hobbies. And I don't begrudge anyone having a hobby. But my question would be, at what point do you go too far with it, where you're dressing now like a hobbit? Let's say you really are into superhero movies, comic books. That's fine. I have no objection to it. But what would Melanie say if you started dressing as Iron Man and you just wore an Iron Man costume around the house and you started changing your life in your home to start resembling something? I mean, don't you think that's a bit overboard?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And if I went around making other people call me Iron Man. If this guy's going
like that
around,
time you tried to do that. No, you've never tried to do that. But yeah, you're right. So that's what I'm saying. Is he losing his identity in this fantasy world?
In this role?
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's kind of cute, but in a way, it's kind of weird, if you ask me.
Yeah.
That. If he's losing himself in this fantasy world where he's just becoming, like, it's almost like he wants to live in this fictional world and it doesn't really exist, but yet he's creating it in such a way that everywhere he looks, he'll see things that make it look real. I don't see that that's healthy, especially not for a grown man, honestly.
Yeah. So
that's my take.
Yeah, I understand. I still want to visit.
Ciao, sono Frodo. Can you say that? That's Italian.
No, but Elijah Wood's awesome. I like that kid. He's older than I am.
Yeah.
But I like him a lot.
Is he older than you?
I think he is. Yeah,
that
a couple
is
years. Yeah, isn't that weird? All right, let's get back to work.
Wow.
All right.
Well, hey, I want to play that audio, and I'm trying to find it here, but I want to play that audio of the young woman who's talking about how Disney is programming the kids by some of the Disney stuff. And
oh,
I know that you
have
that
right here.
Because,
yeah,
tell me her name again, because I had it right here a minute ago and I don't have it now for some reason.
See, I put it in
but
my
it's
Twitter.
It's a quick clip. Yeah, it's a quick clip, and she's explaining. She looks to be in her 20s, perhaps. She's a social commentator, and she's got a very interesting take. I think it's dead on accurate. And she's talking about some specific example of how Disney is trying to inculcate certain ideologies into the kids who watch the Disney Channel. And I'm going to have to throw it to you, Cyrus, because you've got it there and I don't have it here.
Yeah, you know, I see the tweet right here. Oh, here it is. I'm going to butcher this name. Amala Poonobi. I'm sorry, Amalia. So this is her take on what's going on over at Disney Plus.
You still think that the entertainment industry is not trying to indoctrinate your kids? Take a look at this clip from Disney Plus's new show, Diary of a Future President.
Let's run through Why Can't Feminism Happen Already? Some would say I have it all. An orange grove and a family. But they don't know what I really crave is sweet equality.
And it doesn't stop there. The female characters in the show replace words like hero and history with shiro and herstory. And it's no longer, oh my god, they say, oh my goddess. This goes to show that the forefront of the cultural battle we're experiencing right now is actually children, and there's an entire group of people that is willing to indoctrinate them through children's programming, teaching young women that they are oppressed and living in a patriarchy where they cannot be successful.
So I'll get this posted on our Twitter feed right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh my goddess. First of all, it's absurd. But, you know, it shouldn't be oh my god in any case. Let's just pause there for a second, because that I really do believe that that is a low level but still part of the sin of taking God's name in vain. You know, and it's so common nowadays. You know, people say, oh my god, you know. And it's so frivolous, and it invokes God's name in a way that is definitely taking it in vain. But to say, oh, my goddess, you know, when I saw that the first time around, I thought, you know, this is just how absurd it is. But this young woman is right that there's an intentional effort to indoctrinate the kids. Now, by the way, Cyrus, I know we have to go to a break, but I just thought I'd point this out. Actually, no, we've got a couple of minutes. The dreaded patriarchy of which you have heard, right? They don't like it. Feminists and others, they don't like the patriarchy, right? Cyrus,
a man and a woman.
Okay. Well, check it out. My name, or the shortened form of my name, Pat, is in the word patriarchy. Did you ever stop to think about that?
Oh, mind blown.
Yeah, so if I ever ascend to great heights of power and authority, which I never will, but if I ever did, we would tweak that slightly to be known as the patriarchy. The patriarchy. Now, it gets better. I love this. The word pregnancy. Okay? My name is in the word patriarchy. My wife's name, Nancy, is in the word pregnancy. Think about that for a minute. We have 11 children.
Whoa.
See? So when the screamers on the left start up about the patriarchy and all of that, I just remind them of that, and
that's
the room goes silent.
Awesome.
I think maybe I'm the only one in the world who's amused by that. Even Nancy's not amused by that. She'll roll her eyes when I bring that up to somebody.
Could you hear my eyes rolling?
I could.
Yeah, I thought you.
I could see them and hear them. Yeah, you were rolling them that hard. Oh, well. Well, I wanted to put that out there. Just wanted to mention. And I know I will get some comment about that on Twitter. That's for sure. 888-914-9149. By the way, if you want to send me messages on Twitter, you can do it there. Oh, I love that picture. I posted some video of Cyrus at the beach.
It's not
and
me.
He was not having a good day. It is you.
It's not me.
Check it out. Cyrus had just bought lunch, and he was just trying to go find a quiet place to eat his lunch.
Just leave me alone.
And Mother Nature would not permit him to do it. Check it out. It's on my Twitter feed. I'll be right back right after this.